This morning, we looked at the problems of giving offense and also being offended and the problems that that can cause. Many times, or the reason why people become offended or take offense is because of what someone says to them. Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4 and verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Many times we wind up saying things that we ought not. Most of the time, it comes in the heat of the moment. Whatever it might be, or for whatever reason, because we are under pressure, we are stressed, we are angered, we become jealous, envious, whatever it might be, that we get in that situation, we say things that a lot of times later on we do start regretting. But the problem is, once we say that, the damage is done. It's you know, the cat is out of the bag. This afternoon, briefly, I want us to take a look at this, Ephesians 4:29, what this says. And really, there's two parts of it. First is the corrupt words, that we ought to be careful that those corrupt words never pass our lips. Now, if you go back to the original language, if you do a word study on this word corrupt, in the original Greek, it literally means rotten. Let nothing rotten come out of your mouth. You don't have to go very far to listen to rotten speech. The thing is, and I thought about trying to go through and list various things that would be considered rotten speech, whether it's just our language, foul language, or the intent of that speech. It can be anything from foul language to a backhanded compliment. You know, something that is, it sounds nice, but ultimately it's intended to hurt. But where does this come from? If I want to get to where I don't have rotten speech, if I don't have corrupt things coming out of my mouth, what do I need to do? The answer is simple. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." I say what's in me, right? Now, I might be able to hide it pretty good, but a lot of times when I get in an emotional situation, when I'm angered, when I'm stressed, then, you know, those things that I have consumed, from whatever source they might come from, they start coming out, right? So I might never use foul language, but I'm around it so much maybe that, you know, I've absorbed that and it starts coming out. I haven't guarded my heart. It could be anything, from people that I'm with to the television movies that I watch, whatever it might be. It might be that I allow myself to grow angry at someone, become jealous, whatever it is, or because they have done something to me, I have hard feelings. I want to do something back to them. A lot of times that, and I remember in school, and specifically one incident that. As kids on the playground, what happened? Somebody did something, and automatically, I want to hurt them back, so I'll say something mean to them. It's the first thing that I want to do. I get angry, and I want to get back, and the easiest thing to do, whether it's the little kid on the playground or me, anywhere, right? The easiest thing to do to hurt somebody is to say something hurtful to them. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. I need to become a good man if I'm not. If I am a good man, I need to become a better man. The thing is, I'm never good enough. That is, I never get to the point where I don't have to grow anymore. I don't have to become better. I can just stay where I'm at. I'm good enough. You see, it doesn't work that way. If I stay stagnant, Peter says Satan is like a roaring lion going around seeking whom he may devour. If I stop growing, just like anything else, it's living. If it stops growing, it starts dying. Not only do we get into situations many times that we wind up saying things we ought not to, sometimes we just wind up running off at the mouth. I wind up saying a little bit too much. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Paraphrase, I forget the quote, the exact verse. I was talking about that earlier. I should have had it down. But another proverb, to paraphrase it, says, even a fool seems wise when he closes his mouth. A lot of times, if I just don't say anything at all, it's probably for the best. You know, it's like what the mom always said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Not only do we have a problem with corrupt speech many times, but the problem with corrupt speech is that we don't have anything good to say. If out of the good treasure of our hearts springs forth good things, what happens if we don't have anything good in our hearts? What if it's just kind of neutral? You see, if we don't have those good things in there, we need to bring them in. You see, there's a purpose of our speech. Again, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that edification to build up. That's what we ought to be about as Christians, to build ourselves up, to build our fellow Christians up, and those that are outside the Lord's church, those in the world, that they might, through our good works, see God. Impart grace on the hearers. Again, like we were talking about this morning, that my goal is to get as many people to heaven as I can. I want to impart grace on the hearers. I want, through me, through my speech, which is the most obvious thing, after they see me, after I make a first impression on somebody, and really, ultimately, that counts for little. I find that first impression, I'm not good with first impressions, and I'm not talking about me making them, but reading somebody, getting somebody's quality, just from that first impression that I get off, it's wrong almost every time. I'm just not good at that. I have to be around someone a lot. That you might, a woman's intuition. Sometimes I've met women that are very good at that. Just immediately, they're able to read somebody and get their character. I've never been able to do that. So I have to be around them for a while, and that's what most people do. After a while, you can tell how a person really is. A lot of times by their speech, by what they say, what they speak about. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, here Paul tells the church in Colossae, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Many times, especially during this time and in this culture, they use salt, especially as a metaphor for wisdom, for wit. All right, you need to stop and think about what you're saying. Be wise in what you're saying, in your response to people, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. A lot of times I get flustered. You ask me a question, I'm not good at responding. Go and get together with family or whatnot, that my brother and sister-in-law that get together and want to play board games. Well, I know what games, board games, or what games I want to play. I want to play something that has a lot of useless, trivial information, right? Anything like that, I'm gonna win. I'm just good at retaining just useless information. But if I have to think on my feet, I'm gonna lose every time. I'm gonna lose absolutely every time. I just can't do it. A lot of times, Calvin, every Sunday morning, he asks me, "What's the name of your lesson?" Half the time, I have to look it up. I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday and start going over my lessons. And by the time I get here, I couldn't tell you what the name I have, the title for my lesson. if he hadn't asked me, I probably could have told him easily. But for some reason, it's just not there. I have to take time. I have to stop and actually think about it. That you may know how to answer each one. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. I've got to know what I'm talking about, but I've got to know when to actually talk about it. Know how to use that knowledge. A lot of times not using it at all is probably the best thing, just closing my mouth. James 1:19, James says, "So then, my beloved," use this scripture this morning, "let us be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." A lot of times that the wrath part comes because of either what we're saying or what's being said. You know, be swift to hear and slow to speak. In other words, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth, so he must have expected us to listen twice as much as we speak. It's basically what James is saying here, maybe a little bit more crude, but you get the picture. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that we may impart grace to the hearers." We need to stop and think before we speak. Hopefully this has been helpful in understanding this, but not only going over and reviewing something like this, but thinking about it. We know these things. These things are simple to understand. The problem is actually applying it to our lives and using that. And hopefully we will, you along with me, will do better always, strive to do better, especially in our speech. If you have a need this afternoon, we want to offer the invitation. If there's anything that we can do, if we can help as for the congregation, as far as a prayer, if you have a need, we would encourage you, please come as we stand and sing this song.